For you is not dead. My love for you is not dead.
James Wood, half of Mega Bear. You're listening to CITR. Earfook.
about a bit, a few minutes behind schedule for our community living show here on CITR 101.9 FM. We're just getting ready to get rid of, and I wouldn't say get rid of music, but involved with music. But anyways, we're just about almost ready to go. Michael's about to head over to the studio. But anyways, we're just getting ready. Anyways, I'm Kelly, and you are listening to The Community Living Show.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead, and you're miles and miles from a nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you got a friend in me. 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 You got troubles, I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together. See it through, for you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I, bigger and stronger too, maybe, but none of them could ever love you the way I do. It's you. And as the years go by, friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. For you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend.
Welcome to Community Living Show here on the National Community Radio and Campus Radio Association throughout the province of British Columbia, and on the full-hour flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. Michael's here. Yay, finally.
Yay. traffic and construction was a bear.
So. I see.
Yeah.
So we have a guest, two guests.
We have two guests, and both of these guests have one thing in common, two different approaches to this, to the same exact topic of equality.
Okay.
Michael Strickland, and your initiative is?
Creating stories that will help reduce global female illiteracy.
Right. And on the phone, we have Peter Daniels.
Are you there? Hello, Peter.
Hello, Peter.
We did have him.
We did have. Them. Okay, we'll get back while Kelly tries to figure out what happened with Peter. His initiative is actually a movie called An Open Door, and it's speaking about why we shouldn't be warehousing people. Mm. Both two ways of stating that there's a hierarchy and there is those that don't count.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if Peter's listening to us, maybe you should give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's the number to call. 604-822-CITR. That's the number to call.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Continue.
We'll continue with Michael while we get that figured out.
Yeah.
I guess first, what was the inspiration for? What is you're doing?
I think it started about 15 years ago, and I got a lot of, coincidences around the Wizard of Oz, and really started mm-hmm. exploring the myth of the Wizard of Oz. And through doing some research, there was a few surprising things that came out of it. One is in the original story, the shoe was actually silver and not red. And the author was actually a closet.
Sorry, I got to interrupt. I'm just wondering if Peter's there. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am.
All right, we're all linked up. So Peter is on the air right now with everybody else here on the Community Living Show. So
okay.
Sorry. Continue on with your.
Yes, please
piece.
Continue, Michael.
Continue on with
we'll
your
get an explanation from Peter in a second.
So the original author of The Wizard of Oz was actually a closet feminist who was inspired by his wife to create a story to empower women. And his hopes was that Dorothy would be an inspiration for women to head into politics. And he wanted women in leadership. And essentially that is the whole story of Dorothy going on her path of empowerment. And the idea of creating the Oracle of Shoes and my platform for the Indiegogo campaign was that shoes is our common theme. Shoes take us on adventures. Shoes is part of our path. And shoes represent our spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to create a platform where it's not only just about shoes, but telling stories about historical women in history who we are never taught in school about. And really the only ones that we're taught about are often women who are come across as either crazy, like Joan of Arc or Cleopatra. And so there aren't many women that we are taught about that we can look up to in a mentorship role. And so I wanted to bring a lot of these stories to light. There's 52 wisdom cards based on the history of shoes, 52 stories about historical women, including 52 mythical female characters from different countries and cultures. And the main character, whose name is Orabella in these stories, is a heroine that is the first female character that grows with you over time. So there will be stories that relate to children, teenagers, and adults. And so it creates a sense of community and understanding of this character that grows with you. And comparatively, you can talk about this character who goes through a lot of the same sort of life challenges that we have. But with the assistance of these historical women and mythical female characters who offer her tools to help her along her path, wearing the shoes that mm-hmm. she's using in these adventures. My hope is that it empowers and inspires not just my daughter, but all girls and women around the world.
Wow. I have two daughters myself, so so that was kind of when we have a friend in common, another lady, Anastasia, who contacted me in you guys asked to borrow some of my shoes, so mm-hmm. I was pretty well honored when I realized what the whole thing was about. So anyway, let's see if we can get a brief explanation from Peter about an open door.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Peter.
I was just listening to your story about shoes and. My mentor, who was part of my open door, she actually wrote a book called An Open Door. She talked about our feet, mm-hmm. and which obviously the shoes go on, right? And
yeah.
she said, where you stand is where you're at, and you go forward. And the soles of the feet, you know, are what they are. So you move forward with understanding. That's how you know, it's sort of a process, right? And her name was Olga Park. She lived in Vancouver many years ago, out in Belcare Park area, off Ioka Road, in a small cottage when I met her. And she was in her 80s at the time. And her process was about mystical experiences and how to empower oneself. She had done automatic writing, where she used her meditative prayer center. She had a table set up, and she practiced meditation prayer. But she was taken back in time into Giza from her desk in Vancouver into Egypt over 2,000 years, and she channeled and wrote what Christ said word for word and left us with a tapestry of fragments of the life of Christ. And it's a very metaphysical journey. It's not a religious journey. It's more uncontained, I guess you might, unstructured. And she was into Eastern mysticism with a third eye and listening with the inner ear, or as a lot of us would say, intuition.
Right.
So this is where the open door came from, and I was teaching in a prison at the time, and she helped mentor myself through a riot and a lot of other things, showing me how to close my chakras off and open my mind's eye and go with listen to my intuition and move forward on the soles of my feet, I guess you would say, going back to where we started with the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're at a point now is we're getting ready to do a pitch for crowdfunding for the film. We have a lot of things in place. And so maybe I should talk about, you know, the purpose of the film and why people would want to help crowdfund for this project.
Yeah, that would be a really good place to dive into your project, yeah.
Well, when I was, I spent almost 10 years as an art therapist in a Canadian prison, and of course this this story is going to be shifted to protect everybody. There'll be no names, no places that are identical. But in this journey, while I was there, I was teaching art and crafts and therapy through self-actualization, through making items. And what I realized in this journey is that we all make mistakes, whether as a teacher or a parent or an instructor, whatever, in our lives. And obviously the people that are incarcerated have made their mistakes. And I think one of the mistakes that our society is making is that instead of holding somebody in a prison for a long time, and I know it's hard to discuss it about hardened criminals or hardened inmates who have done a lot of hard time, but the door is still open for anybody, and that's what this film's about. It's about showing people that they have alternatives. They have choices. We all make choices. Sometimes we make choices that are mistakes.
There's a tip for a dinner party that sparkles.
And we learn from them. You know, we learn from that mistake, hopefully not repeating it. And part of the teaching, going back to my mentor, was we all live on the earth, and there's a psychic realm that isn't spiritual. It's psyche. It's where mankind is at. Some are on very high planes, some are on very low planes. So our journey is to close our chakras off our emotions. We all have emotional bodies. They're good to have, but we're not here just to leave ourselves open. We're here to learn how to close that off and use our highest awareness. And revenge isn't one of the highest awarenesses. It keeps a karmic cycle happening.
Yeah.
And so what the film is addressing is how to close that psyche off and get to our highest of intentions. Whether we're a teenager or whether we're an adult or middle age or whatever, it's all part of a growing process. And if we do make a mistake, learn from it as fast as possible, but don't keep repeating that mistake, because that's a condition.
Yeah.
Close that condition off, right?
Yeah. Let's get back to that in a second. Kelly's giving me the we need to go to a break signal.
Yeah, we got to take a break. This is Community Living Show here on the NCI Radio Networks. We're coming right back.
Sure, reality has to be seen in a new way, but that is not so much the interesting part of it. The interesting side of it is, where is truth in all this?
Doxa, Vancouver's documentary film festival, runs this year April 30th to May 10th. The 14th annual Doxa features 89 films, 6 world premieres, and 23 Canadian premieres. Whether it's the infamous musical Provocateurs, The Residents, or master pranksters The Yes Men, Doxa is packed to the brim with radicals, iconoclasts, weirdos, mavericks, and James Franco. For more information, go online to www.doxafestival.ca.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show. Peter, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we just had a couple of announcements before we go on the air. So back to Michael.
Well, why don't you finish up with your statement there, Peter, and then we'll try to draw some parallels between the two of you.
going back to condition, the psychic condition, and... I met Monty Roberts, and he was a horse whisperer from California. I had the opportunity of meeting him here in Vancouver. He had come up to train some horses that were having issues, and he used them as a platform to show how he brought them around within half an hour, with firmness but fairness and kindness, and talking to them, making a relationship with them. And he had had 58 foster children on his ranch in Northern California at that time, which is probably about 8 years back now, and had had success because he had managed to get the foster children out of the inner cities where there's a circle of, say, crime, right? And get them onto an organic farm where they had to relate to huge animals and discipline with watering them and feeding them and combing them and grooming, all that sort of thing. And the animal being very huge and bigger than them. So, and his success rate was huge. And another example was Summerhill. A.S. Neal in England had a school where he had children from various inner cities, a lot of peer pressure with crime and that sort of thing. And he got them on to repairing windows that they kept breaking because they were frustrated, but he'd give them a glass cutter and send them out to the barn to replace the windows. And he had huge success because he didn't just give them a sentence. He gave them a responsibility, an opportunity. And I think that that's what is sort of missing in our system, because nobody wants to just sit, you know, or just even be around the same friends, because you have to perform in front of your friends. If you go to a high school, a junior high school, or say even a penitentiary, you have to perform around your friends. The pressure, as we all know, in workforce everywhere is... we're judged by our peers. So if that can be shown as not necessarily a pattern that's healthy, but find a pattern that is a little more healthy, then I think our success rate with young offenders especially, or even older ones, that, you know, they don't have to keep repeating the same pattern. It's a pattern. It's not. It's nothing more than that. It's a very simple thing. You have an X pattern or a Y pattern. Let's choose a pattern that's more friendly, more conducive to moving forward instead of staying stuck.
So if we change the pattern, we free the mind.
We give opportunities. That's right. And
choices.
Again, it comes down to free will. I mean, all of us have free will, and we can't take that away from anybody. You can incarcerate somebody for the rest of their life, but they still have free will.
Yeah.
So what have you done by incarcerating them for the rest of their lives? Yes, I agree. Like Monty Roberts said, there's some horses that are so scarred, they're like people. They won't get over it until they pass on.
Right.
But that's few. So, but we've got huge numbers that are doing time that could be doing their lives in a better pattern.
Right. So, like you said, we change their choices and we free their minds and things like that. And that's one of the things that Michael Strickland, with teaching these group of women that are being held away from literacy, that we allow them more freedom. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes. You know, there isn't a lot of attention given to illiteracy, and it's mostly because it's in the shadows. Women in general who can't read are often isolated, or because they feel ashamed. They feel ashamed and they want to hide because of the condition or their story. We all have a story, and often most of us are not even living our own story. We're living our parents', our grandparents', our great-grandparents' stories. And so what we're talking about here is freeing those old stories and creating a new story by having tools that we can shift and relearn about going on a different path that our parents were on, our great-grandparents, generational. And often that's what you would call karma, family karma, that we are carrying out our own family karma. And sometimes our family karma isn't the healthiest. And we end up living a lie because we're not living our genuine story. And so often people who've made a difference in lives have changed their story by having the courage and strength and finding the tools themselves. And often those stories, especially women in history, have never been told. You know, there was recently a story that came to me about the very first female marathoner who was refused because she was a woman. And through the help of many of her male friends, she got into the race and partake into the race and finished a race. But her time was never recorded because she was a woman. And so these stories of inspiration are never taught to our children. And as you know, Michael, having a daughter and growing up in our society where there isn't equality and there's such a prevalence of that feeling of not feeling empowered, and literacy is actually increasing. There's been recent stats, even in Canada, that illiteracy will continue to increase. And there was another stat that just absolutely blew me away, was that 33% of graduates in California by 2025 will not be able to read. It's just continuing. And there's such a tie-in to our economics that we don't realize that when people have illiteracy or can't read or don't feel empowered, they're not living out their story. They're hiding in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And that is what the Oracle of Shoes is about. It's about creating stories that are about women that empower us empower girls, and to create new leaders within our community to live their story, and to offer tools in a fun educational entertainment. It's a combination of fiction, nonfiction. It's combining stories that have magic to them, like Harry Potter, combining with Nancy Drew with a global initiative.
Right.
And so it's about magic, it's about inspiration, it's about truth, and about women who have stepped out of the norm of their family story or family history and found their own path. And even though they were put down and ridiculed at the time, and even to this day, in some cultures and in some countries, they're still being pushed down. Mm-hmm. You know, in many ways, we still have an underlying, even in our society, where women aren't equal.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is coming to light because equality is necessary for us to find peace. And, you know, there's a lot of old stories, and stories come from old stories. And, you know, we talk about, well, where was the original Cinderella story?
Hmm.
You know, that is one of the oldest stories that we often think come from Disney.
Hmm.
And but it actually started back in Egypt. And it goes by a story of a girl who was a slave, and she was recognized by one of the merchants. And the merchant felt there was something about her and wanted to adopt her. And eventually he did, and he ended up buying her red slippers. And these red slippers she wore was eventually recognized by Horus's eagle, who came down one day, saw the glitter of this shoe or the slipper, and he swooped down, picked the slipper up, brought it back to Horus, and Horus went on a journey to find this girl with the other slipper. And eventually he found her and married her, and she became a princess.
Wow.
So we have to find not just these old ancient stories that are about empowerment and are carried over in time and sometimes changed in the way the story is made, but also but the meaning stays the same.
Yeah.
And so we need to go back and look at our old stories, our stories that were created by our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors.
Sure, our founding fathers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And change, and not entirely change, but change the path we're on. And yes, we're all on a spiritual path. We all want to make a difference in the world. How we get there is often how we don't get there sometimes is because we're not taught the tools.
Right.
Or we don't know how to do it. And some of us in our Western society is very lucky to have the information through internet or through community support. But it's that is the foundation of the Oracle of Shoes, and why I wanted to go through the Indiegogo platform fundraising is I wanted people involved, and I wanted people to be part of a community to start telling their story. And one of the things about the development of the Oracle of Shoes is not just me sharing stories, but also getting other people involved in sharing their stories so it inspires others.
Right.
Because many stories aren't told and often hidden. And one of the quotes that information I got yesterday was actually which I was completely surprised by, was a quote given by the Dalai Lama back in 2009, which didn't gain a lot of traction. And he said that Western women will lead the world.
Yeah.
And not a lot of information was given about that. And
no.
And I understand that, you know, way back before Egyptian times, there was a civilization, Sumerian civilization, and it was completely based on the balance between male and female, that their gods, goddesses were equal.
Yeah.
And so I think that shift needs to happen for us to find true peace.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up the Sumerians like that. I found this piece of information about a woman who, in that same area, it kind of predates the Sumerian civilization. It's the precursor to it. But it was a woman who wrote the first words on a piece of paper to be recorded. I can't remember exactly what the story is, but it's also a story that mirrors itself in the Bible.
Hmm.
So I had to find the whole piece of information again, but that was like amazing to me. I was like, oh, that it was actually a woman that wrote the first words on the piece of paper.
That's. You know, it goes again. It's about stories and how the stories are an onion into our layers of subconscious,
mm-hmm.
and we all carry our original story, and we carry her original story.
Right.
And it's about finding those tools that slows us down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before there were TV and internet, and iPhones and tablets, and even before radio, the most important person in the family and in the town and community was the storyteller.
Right.
Mm.
The storyteller was our teacher, our educator. In Native Indian cultures, stories were very important to the platform of moving beyond the story that you're having now,
right.
but also staying connected to the old stories. Because the old stories are a reflection of where we're going into the future.
Yeah. So I have a question for both of you, for both Peter and Michael.
We got about 1 minute left.
Okay, I'll ask the question and then we'll...
Okay,
then
we'll
get back. Okay, so the question is, since we're talking about stories, and stories are what drive our lives, and it's like, when we're handed a story by our society, how does that affect our lives? So we're going to go to a break.
Yeah.
And we'll come back with and get both Peter and Michael to answer the question.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. This is Community Living.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam Nisiaya, and the Sakhuya to lead in for Musqueam Mustail.
The world's most shocking monster.
That techno rock you guys listen to is godless.
I'm sure.
And the only reason you don't understand our music is that you don't like it.
After I'm gone, your Earth will be free to live out its miserable span of existence.
Can anyone stop their mechanical mail?
All of my most sensitive areas were inflamed. My extremities pulsating with tingling sensation.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Swaying back and forth. A beautiful thing taking me away.
You are a robot.
You must listen to Synaptic Sandwich. Saturday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9.
And of course, you are listening to the Community Living Show here on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, and the rest of the NCRE radio networks. Now, we were just about talking over the break here. You were mentioning about the Cinderella story, and I was, and of course, I'm also intrigued about the thing about what Peter Joseph talks about on these three trilogy movies on the Zeitgeist Movement movies, is dealing with religion and Christianity and versus the Egyptian parts. They're pretty much almost the same. Am I right?
Well, yes. There's parallels to all of our stories, mm-hmm. and you know, in religion, you know, one of the dirty words we often talk about is sin. Mm-hmm. You're born in sin, and really, the underlying story is the sin is actually our family karma. Mm-hmm. It's what we're attached to, and changing our story. You know, in religion, it's often about finding yourself through a higher power by God, but that higher power is actually within us. Mm-hmm. And I had an amazing opportunity to apprentice with a shaman in Mongolia for a year. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she told me, and many of us know this, that our internal landscape is a reflection of our external experience. And so whatever is our internal thoughts, we manifest on our outer plane, our outer existence. And to answer Michael's question about storytelling and in society, you know, we need the tools to slow down and listen to our own wisdom to know when those stories aren't a lie, aren't truth, because many stories in news, in newspapers and even news around the world are often lies, mm-hmm. and to distract us from our own story, from our own wisdom. So we forget about our own consciousness and awareness because we're constantly bombarded by the distractions outside of ourselves.
And Peter, you can jump in at any time you want.
Okay. Well, I've had the fortunate chance of meeting a few people. One was Georgina Williams, the First Nations elder here in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I met her before I met Olga Park. I was quite young, I was 21, and she wanted me to become a West Coast winter dancer, which is a high honor. And I'm a little Caucasian boy here that grew up in White Rock. And I was intimidated. As my life progressed, I started to question what was her connection with my life and why had she come into my life. She was a very powerful First Nations elder. She's now on the other side. And parallels between Christianity and First Nations here. The eagle, John of Patmos, who wrote Revelations, who was imprisoned on Patmos, appeared to a personal friend of mine, Mark Haddock, who's an environmental lawyer here, as a golden eagle. And Mrs. Park, you know, Olga had introduced the idea of reincarnation, that we had lived many lives and that sort of thing. And she tied that in with Christianity, the connection that we all have, and First Nations being part of it. I said to her, you know, what was their position, you know, and she said the true First Nations people are the protectors of the kingdom of heaven, which is on the within. It's a mystical connection. Mm-hmm. And I said, why? And she said, because of their connection to the earth. They're very connected, and that's their special calling. So John of Patmos appeared to Mark Haddock as a golden eagle, as a manifestation, which is a very high spiritual bird, right? Mm-hmm. And he was where we've discovered that his inn was where the Last Supper was held. He was the 13th disciple, as they would call him. So the mystical side of Christianity is opening up, and it's exposing all kinds of parallels and connections. We're all connected. And it's not just a closed shop, as a lot of people thought. Buddhism is involved in it.
Do I have time?
Everything's involved in it. And that's what this project that I'm on is, to expose that, to open that door. So that's why it's called an open door. There's a friend of mine in England who's met Olga many years ago, and he's gone on his own mystical path. And through meditation, prayer, which is, again, ritual that we've lost, but you can gain it back through practice. He was taken into Africa, where women and children had been raped and killed, and they were on the other side, living in a forest in fear. And they took him from this side through meditation to the other side so he could show them that let's move on out of fear into love. Okay. And so what I'm trying to go back to is we talk about our potential, our stories. And when we do get away from the commercialism and the connection to the world and find out who we are, we grow. We do move forward in our shoes. And we all have potential to shine a huge light. And that's basically this what the story is about in an open door.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's going to be quite the story when we finally get the whole movie put together, won't it, Peter?
Yes, I'm lucky that I have found also people who will distribute and help fund it as well. I'm very excited. I'm glad that Michael has kept his door open to me.
Yeah,
it's very important to have this kind of connection with Vancouver.
So when we actually do have the Indiegogo, we still have to, just to tell everybody where we are in your process, we still have to shoot the video for the Indiegogo campaign. Once that is shot and we have the final edit and everything ready to go, and we have the whole campaign put together with all the gifts and everything that go along with it, we will put that on the Community Living Facebook page, so all those there can join in and help Peter get this story told. Peter is attracting some A-listers into the thing, but in order to get those people to come on board with you, you actually have to show that you have the right initiatives and the right seeds.
Skin in the game, right?
Yeah. You gotta give them a little ounce of proof there, right?
Yeah.
So, Michael, you had something to add in here.
Well, I think one of the things I learned most about, you know, crowdfunding, and it's a new way of starting businesses, it's really about pre-selling your product, getting recognition for what you're doing, but also getting people involved, people having the opportunity to be part of the story. And going back to what you were saying about stories and how it can affect our lives is, you know, being an artist, being a painter or a crafter or someone who's in the artist community are often told at a young age that you can't make money as an artist. And often we're led into a different path where we push that down, and we then are on our family path or a different path altogether because of this lie that we can't make money based on our inspiration.
Right.
And I think one of my inspirations personally comes from the fact that a local woman, Kate Nagel, recognized that, and she saw a lot of the cutbacks in the government with funding to the artist community, and so she took the initiative to open up her own store to change the whole message about empowering artists to become prosperous, by creating the Bird on Wire Creation Store, by drawing in local artists to help them and to tell their story. So it's amazing that we're in this transition of leadership, like Kate Nagel and even Steve Robinson of Social Visual, who's been my visual wizard, because essentially I had all of these thoughts in my head about what I wanted to put out there, and he was a driving force to visually create this. And along the way, I've had some amazing experiences once I opened myself up to it fully.
Right.
And each day is a new story. The second day of my campaign, I get a text from this woman in Indonesia who said, "How can me and my family support you? We want to be involved by raising funds within our community, within our town, to help you." And it made me realize that it's not just about what I'm doing. It's about the global connection. And that is essentially my long-term goal, is eventually to create a wisdom center for women, where very much like TED Talks, where women who can't afford, and I'm not just talking about women of adults, but children and teenagers, and connecting with community leaders, very much like Ashley Willis of Soul Girls. You know, she's a dynamic early 20s girl who's already on the TED Talk scene on empowering girls through fitness. Her Great. Belief is that girls of 9 to 16 year olds are under greater pressure today because of our social media onslaught, that there's so much information out there, that mental illness comes from a lack of exercise. That's her mandate. And her mandate is to get out and to create this message that exercise is important to your mental health. And so by creating this platform, I'm not just doing this for myself. I see these amazing women and people out there who are all on the same mission like Peter, where we want to create stories, we want to share stories, we want to dig up the old stories and share the importance of them, so you have the tools to create the stories for yourself. Right. Healthy wisdom leadership stories.
Yeah.
Peter, do you have any final words?
Well, I've really enjoyed listening to Michael and I think that
Michael.
I think there's such a parallel here. I really appreciate that Michael Rubin has put both of us together on the same page this morning. He's very intuitive to bring this together, and I agree with the fact that in our society, you know, women have been taken a lesser role. But their opportunity now to move forward, and it's also a male's chance to move forward. We don't have to just be the big protector or warrior or anything and looking after that part of the family. We can let go of that, and we can move
Indeed.
Forward and become who we're meant to become as well. It's basically empowering for everybody.
Yes. It is all about empowerment on both sides. Some of the problems that we have in our society today are due to the fact that the male energy has to be the protector, the defender, the hunter, and we have to ignore the intuitives and the softer sides of our psyches. And when we find that balance in our masculine energy, then we can move forward with
the excitement that the women are moving forward in.
Well, it's a balance between the two. It's a balance between connecting to our feminine, connecting to our emotions and mm-hmm. our feelings, and for women to connect to their strength and power and their masculine yeah. side. Because without balance, we're just continuing a vicious cycle of creation, war, without any sense of empowerment.
Okay, so at this point, Michael, shout out the where people can find you on Indiegogo.
Mm-hmm. My website is www.michaelstricklandproductions.com, and I am under the Oracle of Shoes project on Indiegogo campaign, and got 30 more days to go, and so I've been getting a lot of amazing feedback, and as I mentioned, connections within our community that is really, and well, not only in the community, but globally, on inspiring me on a daily basis that it's not just about the platform, but connecting with people.
Yeah. And Peter, your contact information very quickly.
Okay, it's right now, we haven't got the program ready for the campaign yet. As you know, we're going to do that, but mm-hmm. the website they can go to is www.anopendoorfilm.com.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye. All right. So that's our show for this week. Please tune in to our half-hour show, which is tomorrow on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, which is tomorrow from 2 to 2:30.
Yeah. Please do make sure you listen into this. We have another group that's trying to cause equality with disabilities on the show tomorrow. It's called Kudos. Mm-hmm. It's KUDOZ or Z. I forget that I'm in Canada.
All right.
And we're going to actually have a young lady on doing a radio experience. Okay?
All right. So that's tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
All right. This has been the Community Living Show on the four-hour edition of our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, and, of course, the NCRA Radio Networks. Stick around for next week.
I appreciate it.
And we'll have a new show next week. Take care, everybody.
Get aggravating, you're a slowpoke. Why can't you hasten when you see the time is wasting? You're a slowpoke. Time means nothing to you. I wait a man, late again. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9:45. Why should I linger every time you snap your finger, little slowpoke? I wait and worry, but you never seem to hurry. You're a slowpoke, dear. Why should I keep trying to change you? It's not the thing to do. I guess I'll have to learn to be a slowpoke, too.
Well, you keep me waiting till it's getting aggravating, you're a slow poke. Why can't you hasten when